Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stay Up Podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm author of the book Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. And today I have a special guest, Snyder. Snyder, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I'm very excited to have you on. We talked a few weeks ago at one of the openings and discussed the podcast and the work you've been doing. And I've been following you for quite some time now, so it's nice to get a chance to have an extended dialogue. So I appreciate the time you've taken this morning. You've had a lot going on, though, recently. A new mural. I saw a skateboard sort of commercial-like interview, as well as a big trip you went on. So are you awake?
Yeah. No, I'm here. I'm listening to you. It's cool that you've been keeping up to date on all my shenanigans, because I do tend to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I just assumed that you'd be just exhausted with all that's going on. So maybe you can fill us in on some of the recent things you've been working on.
I tend to do a lot. I love painting. I love creating. I love just making art. So I tend to do it a lot. I guess just recently, I did a mural up in L.A. right off Melrose, and I did my doodle character with a black eye and some boxing gloves. And I do a lot of stuff down here in San Diego as well. I'm more community-based down here, where it's less my artwork and more bringing people together. But that also kind of overlaps up in L.A. and then wherever I go.
Well, let's just talk about that doodle image for a while, because it's a really big mural that you did, but it's also a character that comes up over and over again in your art. Could you speak to that a little bit and where that came from, and because it's become pretty synonymous with you?
Yeah, it actually showed up in my professional art in the past couple of years. I've been creating art, large bodies of art, my entire life, ever mm-hmm. since the age of about 8, I was that kid who snuck out of bed every night and drew all night, and then started the day in the morning without my parents ever knowing. And then eventually mm-hmm. I started showing my artwork to my mom. She started to give me feedback, and it got me really excited because I love to get that feedback every morning. So I've been creating mm-hmm. art my whole life, but doodle showed up just recently. But I actually started creating that character at the age of 10, a preteen, and it kind of taught me how to draw, because if you look at doodle, he's always at that angle. It's kind of like a template, and then I accessorized mm-hmm. him with different things. So doodle started really young, and I never called him doodle. It was just a character. It was just something I drew on napkins or whatever mm-hmm. I had in front of me. And his name was actually given by the local community in Carlsbad where I live. Once I decided to bring him to my professional body of work, I started to paint him on cardboard just as practice, just kind of get the shading down, because it was always in pencil and pen prior. And so I started hiding these doodles in the streets, and people started to find them, and they found out that it was me hiding them, and I started to receive emails and calls from people asking, when will the next artwork be hidden? And I didn't really mm-hmm. know people were catching on. So I asked, well, what do you mean, what artwork? And they're like, those little, things on cardboard. And I told them, well, they're just little doodles, little drawings I've been doing. And then I started to receive more emails from people asking, well, when's the next doodle going to be hidden? And then it kind of just took off from there, and the name was kind of given at that point.
Hmm. That's interesting. I mean, is that how you started doing street art, or did it start before that as well?
No, I've been doing street art for about a decade now.
It goes back a decade. How did that start?
I was going to college up in San Francisco. It was Cal State East Bay or in Hayward, so it's just south of Oakland. And mm-hmm. it was a degree for art, and I was taking a bunch of different classes, sculpture, painting, illustration. And there was one class that I really enjoyed. The teacher's last name was actually Snyder, and it was a creative process class. And he had us doing a lot of really cool things, a lot of installation-based things and sculptures. And after I finished each project, you know, I'd take it home, and my one-bedroom apartment turned into this crazy studio where I eventually ran out of room. So I started to take all those installation and sculptures from class, and I would hide them in the streets, basically because I ran out of room and I have a really hard time throwing away artwork. So I started to put them in the streets just as a way to, you know, put them somewhere. And at that point, I started to realize that people really enjoyed finding art in the streets, and I started to pick up on the emotions and the reactions from people and turn it into more of a like a psychological experiment where I was, you know, standing off in the bushes watching people interact with my art. And, you know, this was well before, you know, Banksy or any street artist, or at least any acknowledgement or any, I just had no idea of the whole street art movement at that time. I was just doing this thing because I liked doing it. And then, that love for the interaction and the reactions from people when they find my, when they found my art, that love really kind of created this whole interest in putting art in the streets.
Yeah, I'd imagine you get probably quite a range of reactions when, if you're kind of off to the side watching how people interact. I mean, it's almost like a prankster in that you're manipulating an environment. And granted, you're doing that, it seems, at a very caring perspective. But what kind of react? What were those initial reactions that you saw up north?
You know, the very first reaction that really made an impact on me was the reaction of just stopping. And these people were stopping their, you know, their movement. They were stopping from point A to point B, and I really enjoyed the ability to stop someone and then kind of ignite a thought. So my early piece, my early sculptures were kind of like vehicles to take someone's thought process into a new direction.
And, it's a powerful thing to be able to stop someone like that, isn't it? I mean, that's advertisers want to do that. Everybody is sort of commanding attention, and so to get someone actually, it looks like they're reflecting and engaging is a big deal. Go ahead, Snyder, what were you going to say?
No, you're exactly right. It was a powerful thing, and it's something that I fell in love with. I really enjoyed being able to plant an idea in someone's mind. And, you know, the art for me wasn't necessarily what I was putting in the street. The art was the thought that I was putting into someone's mind.
Yeah, so when did this transition down to Southern California take place? I mean, so you're studying in school, you're doing street art. Where is the transition down to the southern part of California?
I guess a few years, maybe 3 years, I finished school. And at the back end of my education, one of my good friends, Jason Groves, introduced me to Banksy. And and then I instantly just, you know, I realized that, you know, this was a great way to do what I was doing. But, you know I like the idea of putting artwork on a wall instead of installing or just placing sculptures in the street. And I found that there's, you know, I felt there's more room to grow. So I started to basically just study Banksy's work. And I really, you know, dove deep into the artistry of the stencil. And so I wasn't creating stencils up in the Bay Area, but I was following everything Banksy was doing, and I was hand-cutting stencils just to learn the process. And then I graduated, and I moved to San Diego, back to Carlsbad. And that's when I decided, mainly because Carlsbad's essentially a blank canvas. There really isn't a big art scene here, especially street art. You know, no one's doing that. So I figured, okay, I could come here, and I could express these ideas that I have and you know, provoke thoughts in people's minds in an area that has never seen this before. And then so I started to implement these large multi-layered stencils into the streets of Carlsbad without disclosing my name, but doing it in a way where I was introducing the community to something new, and I was also creating a relationship with the art, the community, and the surroundings. And I did that for years, and everyone knew it. I knew of it, but no one knew that it was me. And it was a really fun thing to do because people enjoyed it, and it was this big, mysterious thing. And it was on this micro level where it just kind of stayed within the community.
Mm-hmm. But now the community does know who you are. Your first name, last name are pretty easily accessible. You write a blog. The images sort of make their way around the internet. There's a few that have become viral sensations on Facebook, even most recently with your doodle character, but the Van Gogh piece that we've talked about, and even the Banksy tribute you did in Carlsbad. So how has that changed then since folks, it's not necessarily a mystery who you are, or is it? Am I mistaken?
No, you're right. I think the first thing that kind of introduced my name to the artwork in the Carlsbad streets was I opened up my studio right in the heart of the village, right in kind of the epicenter of where I was putting all the artwork. And at that point, I kind of made a slight transition from strictly street art, with a hidden identity, to more of a, I don't want to say gallery artist, but more of a community advocate, where I was using my studio to bring people together and also using my studio to encourage more of an artistic culture and, at that time, a more artistically stagnant culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so my name was out there. People made the connection, but it didn't stop me. I just had to be more careful with what I was doing. But at the same time, all my projects are not, I don't consider it vandalism. I consider it more of a positive thing that always brings people together and helps culture grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I really didn't have to hide my identity that much because people were seeing that I was trying to do a positive thing. And my goal was to create culture in Carlsbad, and it was happening, and people were kind of jumping on that and really enjoying it.
Even so that now folks are coming to you in Carlsbad and it's becoming this imagery that is really desired. They want a doodle or they want a particular piece on their building wall or in this location. Is that right?
Yeah. That happens a lot, and I welcome it because, my projects, I do them as a gift. It's a way to encourage creativity and bring people together. And, indirectly it brings people to businesses and, helps promote their business. So, I really try to do this whole, just a giant positive thing for all parts of my project. And people appreciate that. And it also helps me get my artwork out into public view, easier.
Sure. What does the typical day at your studio then look like? If it's, it's situated right in the middle of Carlsbad, you're doing work. When does work start for you? What do you typically do during the day? Because you mentioned several times your professional art career or your professional art though you're differentiating. So I'm curious how you divide all of that up.
Jim, it's kind of crazy, and I definitely consider myself overly passionate. My days pretty much go nearly 24 hours a day. So a lot of time on the computer designing, a lot of time in my studio, and then a lot of time within the community just meeting with people and kind of getting the next project going. So it's pretty much nonstop, but the way that I see it is, art makes me feel like a kid. And what kid's going to limit recess? I'm on recess. I'm playing nonstop. I'm just lucky that my profession is also my playtime. I don't have a hard time limiting my work ethic because I'm just out there playing.
Yeah, it's a joy to do. I completely understand. When you love what you do, you don't work at all. So I get that. Definitely. So I mean, as I was looking through your Flickr page, I was looking at the various images, and you have other imagery that you repeat besides the doodle character. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other imagery that you have that you've done over the years?
Yeah. See, I started doing the strip technique about 6 or 7 years ago. And, you know, the drip technique is using stencil work. I call it a painting paradox because it's actually two different techniques kind of fused together. On one side, I have the very spontaneous, gestural, organic drips similar to Jackson Pollock. But on the other side, I'm using, you know, premeditated, hard-edged stencil work like Banksy and other stencil artists. And, you know, they're two opposite techniques. I'm fusing that together where I drip paint through stencils through multiple layers. And for me, the artwork is less the finished product. The finished product is more of a trophy that represents a creative process. And that creative process for me is the artwork. So when I was developing this style, I was, you know, I'd pick a pop icon or just any image, And I would create that. I would create it multiple times in different combinations of color, mainly because I was practicing this technique. And the image wasn't really that important to me because that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the creative process. That wasn't the art.
Mm-hmm.
So I started to work in, I was doing portraits of celebrities, musicians. I did Jimi Hendrix, some Bob Dylan, Bob Marley's. I did a Paris Hilton. Done some bouquets of flowers. You know, these are all icons that I like, but it wasn't necessarily important because it was the process that I was kind of digging at.
Mm-hmm.
And
So I've
continued to work on that drip technique, but then I've slowly evolved it into more of an installation-based piece that is put in the street where I'll drip on paper, I'll involve a doodle, but then I'll have three-dimensional pieces that are also dripped and attached. So it's, you know, things have slowly, or maybe not too slow, but have definitely evolved into, you know, more of installation based, which is funny because I'm going back to how I started street art with installations.
Hmm. Yeah, they are kind of, they're really fun, the installation-based pieces, because they're so different from what we see. And they're temporary. I mean, they really are temporary because they can't last like that through the weather and the elements and just people in general. But the interactions with people on the street seems to be so much more physical with those pieces. As whether they're walking around and we're posing with pictures, and, I mean, it's in their space. It comes out into the three-dimensional, which is, it's pretty interesting to see how folks react to those things.
Yeah, and I like how you bring up the fact that it's in their space. The whole idea behind it is I when I do street art, I don't set out to put art on the streets. I want to put art in the streets because it's more than the street. It's for me, it's the community. So it's, you know, my artwork's not just on the walls of the community, it's on the sidewalk sharing the same path that the community walks on. I really want my artwork to become part of the community in a positive way.
Hmm. I think that definitely comes across.
Yeah.
It definitely comes across in your imagery. It comes across in the way you use your installations. They're very thoughtful in the way they interact with the environment overall. And I think that there's a certain level of maturity there and aesthetic development in terms of seeing what's around you and noticing those things. It seems as though you take advantage of crevices or particular walls really well. So I think that's that's an exciting thing for someone who's coming down the street. The doodle in the corner on Melrose has always been interesting to see folks stop and interact with it. And I know that's another image that's been repeated in Carlsbad as well. And I assume the same sorts of interactions are happening when someone's looking into a corner like that, especially that character.
Yeah, I do a lot of pieces in Carlsbad And I live in the village. I work in the village. I do a lot of cross promotional things with local businesses. I spend a lot of time here in the Carlsbad Village, and so I'm always around my pieces. And it, you know, there's always people around, especially in summer when all the tourists are in town. And you know, it's fun to see them interacting. And because I feel I'm more of an advocate for how street art is a positive thing for a community, I don't have to hide my identity as much. So, you know, I approach these people and I introduce myself and we talk about the artwork and I ask how it makes them feel and if they enjoy it. And, you know, it turns into a great dialogue. And, you know, there's people will send me photos and we'll keep a relationship going. And, you know, it's just a positive thing. It's a positive thing for the community, for people visiting or living in the community, and for me, because it, you know, kind of reassures me that people like what I'm doing.
Yeah, and it's interesting hearing you talk about street art as such a positive educational, you know, component for in making a difference in your community. So backing up, I mean, you're one perspective at all this. When we've talked a little bit about this, I mean, is this a movement? Is this just a genre of art making? What are your views in terms of what exactly this street art thing is?
Well, street art is definitely a movement. It's I actually think it's one of the biggest art movements ever because it's worldwide. You know, it's not just, you know, in Europe or in France, but because of the internet, this movement has been taken, you know, on a universal stage, and you know, the entire world is doing street art or aware of street art. And you know, with Banksy's film, it got even bigger. And I think, you know, street art has been around for so many years now that it slowly started to evolve into different categories, which is exciting because it shows that not only is it popular, but it's evolving, it's growing, it's changing. And now after Banksy's film, it got so big, and I call kind of that category of street art, I call it exit through the Photoshop category, because it's, you know, a bunch of kids running out and photocopying stuff on 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper and pasting to the walls. And you know, that got really big, and then I think some of those people who were maybe excited initially after the film but lost excitement slowly faded away. And I kind of feel like the next category of street art is more community based. Not because it's what I'm doing, but because I feel other artists, you know, artists who I've talked to or artists who I've just recently met, but other people are starting to realize that the community-based form of street art is a good thing and a thing that other people enjoy, like Random Act and some other artists. You know, we're all doing this thing that kind of brings people together, and the community likes it, the business owners like it, and, you know, it's a whole new way of doing street art that isn't out to vandalize or, you know, hide your identity. It's a positive thing, and I see that direction. I see the movement moving in that direction.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is something that we chatted about before, but I completely agree with you in terms of it being a movement and influential. And I think one of the things you said that I found particularly interesting is, you know, when we divide things into categories and we start picking at terminology and of things like street art and or graffiti, it demonstrates how big it is and how wide and vast it is. And that's pretty powerful. And so that's when we see a lot of these disagreements between people who are street artists at what is and what isn't. But it really just shows you the sub-movements or the different conversations happening within this larger umbrella. And that's pretty darn exciting. And so, you're exactly right. You're on one side of it and doing something very positive. And you're also finding folks who are like-minded, but not everybody is. So someone like Random Act, I can see how she would very much align with your way of thinking. That's pretty darn exciting to think about.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And I mean, it's exciting that we happen to be living during an art movement, because, you know, there's gaps between movements, and, you know, we're living during the middle of one, and during one that will be taught about, you know, what it's currently being taught about in school, but it will be taught about in every art history throughout you know, the rest of time. It's something that will be in textbooks, and you know, we happen to be living during the middle of it. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting, and it's certainly something that did start a while ago. I mean, we have folks like Kenny Scharf and Keith Haring and Basquiat to thank for that. Mm-hmm. And certainly it has ebbs and flows, but it certainly is going through a huge high right now. So for folks who want to, you know, who enjoy this interview, who want to learn more about your art, who want to get down to Carlsbad and see your work if they're from someplace, if they happen to be vacationing down there, or if they're in L.A., I mean, where can we point them to learn more about Snyder and to get their fix?
I always tell people the best way to see my artwork or what I do is to experience the creative process. So I always let people know anyone at any time is always welcome to visit my studio. It's in the Carlsbad Village. You can always just get a hold of me through email or my phone number is on all my websites. If you're not able to visit Carlsbad, I have SnyderArtDesign.com, and then I have, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I have all those things, but my most important thing on the web is CarlsbadCrawl.com. And, you know, for me, more than a visual artist or a graphic designer or a filmmaker, I'm a conceptual artist. You know, all of my ideas are my artwork. So Carlsbad Crawl is kind of my zone or my studio for all my ideas. I put all my ideas, all my artistic rambles and rants on the website. So Carlsbad Crawl is the best way to kind of keep updated on, you know, what's going on in my crazy head. And besides that, I visit L.A. at least 3-4 times a month, where I run around for 10 hours straight painting as much things as I can. So there's always going to be new things out in the street.
Great. Hey, Snyder, I appreciate the time. It was a lot of fun talking with you about art and street art in general, and good luck to you. So I appreciate taking time out of your schedule, and I know you work like crazy, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. I look forward to your book, and I appreciate all the help and all the interest you have in what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. This is, like you said, it's too fun to do. And so for folks listening, if you're interested in hearing more about the conversation, be sure to visit the Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art Facebook page. Until then, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.